We're looking at the timing of God, just like that timing was correct yesterday or Sunday. Understanding times and seasons is going to be your key to victory. Don't miss it. Now, Proverbs 29:18 says, without prophetic revelation, people perish. Some translations use the word vision. Without a vision, people perish. It's actually prophetic revelation. We've been looking at this because it's important to understand the times and seasons. You got to know them. People miss things because they just don't recognize the time and the season that's happening. Now, we know there's battles going on. We'd have to have our, you know, spiritual blinders on, you know, 100 feet thick. There's a battle going on in the heavenlies. We've known that. We'll continue to battle there. There's a battle going on earth. We know that. And what the Christians need is a new wind of strength for the battle ahead. The battle is very real. The battle is very there. It's in our faces. And it's going to get stronger, in my opinion. Now, let's talk about time. Time is a measurable period within the action and conditions. Okay? There's five types of different time. I'm not talking about a clock here. We're talking about periods. We're talking about seasons. Time, a measurable period with action and conditions. The first period is present time. I mean, it's right now. But we know it's more than just today. It's the season we're in, this present time. The second is accepted time. There's an accepted time. The Bible talks about now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Number three is fulfillment of time. Fulfillment of time. The next one is future time. Future time. And the next one is eternal time. Now, of the five, let me tell you what's action right now. Present time, accepted time, fulfillment of time is all in operation right now. Future and eternal is yet to come. That section of time period, present time, accepted time, fulfillment of time, is right now. Future time and eternal time is ahead. And keep in mind the time periods. Now, in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, Revelation 4, 1 says, after this I looked and beheld the door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. I will show you these things which must be hereafter. Now in 1 Corinthians 16:8 says, and again we're dealing with some future times. It talks about the time. Talks about the time. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. That's future. I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. Pentecost was ahead. Now, to be victorious, you have to shut the door to the past season and open the door to the future. And a lot of people don't do that. A lot of Christians don't do that. They just don't. They don't shut the door to past seasons. God will bring you through seasons. But they still live in them because they talk about them all the time. They don't go into the future. They always talk about the past. And the devil eats them up on it. I remember when bad things happened. And I remember when this happened. And I remember when that happened. And I remember. Nothing wrong than recall, but you don't live there anymore. You don't live in that past season. The Lord personally has brought me through seasons of my life that was horror. Things were just wrong. Had no money. I didn't have a nickel to buy a pack of gum. All that was taken away. Lost my house, my cars, my credit. Lost everything. Just things went very wrong for Margaret and me. Very wrong for Margaret and me. And it was a tough, tough go. So I know what it is not to have any money. And I know what it is to find out that your house is being sold on the courthouse steps and they're going to come and throw you in the street. I know. I know. I'm trying to help somebody here. No halo shining here. There's no, you know, cloth out shining my halo because there's none. There's no halo on my head. And I'm not wearing a Superman outfit. Not there. I understand these things. So Morgan and I would look at each other and we would say, now what are we going to do? But here's something we learned. Believe it or not, we had no jobs, no pastorate, no money, nothing. Nothing. And I watched God work. But here's what happened. I'd go out and speak in some church, and they give me an offering, and we tithe on the offering. We kept tithing and giving and tithing and giving. That's right. That's right. If I got $100 for that service, I gave 10. It's the way it is. It's a lifestyle. And listen, people don't tithe, miss something. They miss their future. They miss their future. They make all kinds of excuses and they can do what they wish, but they miss their future because they're going to stay in the past. And then God began to work on Morgan my behalf over a period of months. We started Grace Point Ministries and look at it now. Dave was in the first group. Myrna was in the first group. Margie was in the first group. We started this church, and look at it now. God just blessed. God opened doors for us. They flew open. The cars came back. The house came back. The finances came back. The credit came back. It all came back because we kept being faithful to what God had told us to do. There's people listening to Grace Point Radio worldwide, and because of faithfulness and not living in the past season, you're listening to this radio station right now, wherever you are. See, shut the door on past seasons and open the door to the future. I told Dave the other day and others, I don't know what God has for Grace Point Ministries, but I know this. There's something out there for us. There's a church somewhere that needs some help from us. And God's going to supply the needs so we can minister and send the money to Pakistan and send the money to UAE and send the money to South Africa and the children's home and everything else we do and give stuff away like the water in a river. Just constantly we're giving stuff away. Just like the other day, there's a lady eating because of that get-together. Now, time. Seven is a sacred number in the Hebrew culture. And we can't get into all of this, but time is composed of seven units. I'm going to give you some scriptures here. I'm not going to read them all. I'm just going to give you the scriptures so you can look at your own time. Daniel chapter 2, verse 18. Daniel 4, 16 and 23. 25, 32. And Daniel 9, 25. I'll read that again. Daniel 2, 18. Daniel 4:16, 23, 25, and 32, and Daniel 9:25. And see, there's periods of time that God has set apart for special things. I did a series on the numbers in Scripture, what they mean biblically. Now, a new season develops of deliverance inside the sevens. Jesus cast out seven demons out of Mary Magdalene, or somebody, Luke 8:2. There's a new season of multiplication. That's right, new season of multiplication. Jesus fed the 4,000 seven loaves of bread and small fish in Matthew 15:32-39. Now, the creation level, right, was 7 days. We know that. But it was the beginning of the creation process. You see, God created Gen 1. And 7 days, 7 days, sevens. And if you look at the Word of God, seven is always popping up somewhere. Always there. Always there. See, there's seven churches. Church structures must align for, here it goes, for transformation. Revelation chapter 1 all the way to chapter 3. The spiritual alignment. Understanding spiritual alignment. You get a regional transformation if the churches in a certain area line up in spiritual alignment, that structure aligns. You get a wonderful spiritual transformation. You see, there's a sevenfold repetition. Nahum was a leopard, and he went and he dipped in the Jordan River seven times, 2 Kings 5:10-14. And that was an alignment. That was something that lines up all the time. And God wants us to line up all the time with Him. And understand the times and the seasons. Understand what's going on. Understand what's happening. See, because, again, you are a force in God's kingdom. The weakest Christian is a force in God's kingdom if they understood the timing. Force is a word that denotes power, strength, and strain. An object with momentum is going to be hard to stop. See, I've heard so many Christians say, I've been a pastor a long time. Well, I'm so weak. Get strong in the Lord and the power of His might. I'm barely going to make it. Just get through. You see, to stop an object is necessary to apply force against its motion for a given period of time. The more momentum an object has, the harder it is to stop. We know that. Jet planes have a lot of momentum, need a whole lot of runway. There's a greater amount of force over a long amount of time to bring the object momentum to halt. Be a force in your life. Be a force. See, God will have a people filled with strength, a violent group who have active and glorious, victorious power. They will demonstrate might and produce action against forces that are counteracting their goals. Don't sit back and allow the devil to run over you. Well, I guess there's nothing I can do about it. I just have to just put up with it. Nonsense. Well, I just have to just put up with this, you know. He will have a people that will gain momentum. As the people of God go against the enemy, their actions will increase the motion. In other words, the more they move, the more they will keep moving. God's going to have a people of accurate moral reason and judgment. I was reading today. I did a word. You know that I do word studies every morning, Monday through Friday. On Saturday, I usually do messages for Sunday. See, judgment. Judgment. More reason and judgment. So the word judgment there is so important. And it's so misused. God's going to get you for that. You're going to get judged. They have no idea what judgment means. They have the idea that God can't wait to squish you. That's not biblical. God loves you, and his judgment is righteous. God has a righteous judgment. And see, we as Christians should have a mind that's empowered by his understanding and will cause us to argue heaven's cause in the earth. You argue heaven's cause. Stop fighting against people. Stop fighting against people. You'll have a people of violence. They'll exert compulsory power against resisting forces and conquer that which intends to stop their forward motion. Stop letting the devil stop you. Do have a people of virtue. Proverbs 31 is a good example of a violent one who causes her household to prosper. And this woman had power to circumvent the difficulties. It's time to have a people that have the power to bind and loose. They'll be able to look at things and declare them either valid or invalid. You'll have a people of destiny. They will use divine decrees to open the way to accomplish every mission they are assigned. He will have a people who will move like a raging storm on the earth. See, territory has been violated through iniquity. Violated through iniquity. All this stuff that we've seen, all these rioters, all these individuals that burn thing, burn town, burn this, burn the police station down, take over college campuses, take over towns. You know, that's territory they're capturing. They've been violated through iniquity. Anointed people create a storm of change to take that area back for God's original plan of fullness. Let the force bring you to fulfillment. You'll have a people like Jesus fulfill the law without being confined by the law of the earth. They will remain within the boundaries that have been set, but they will reset boundaries that have been violated. You'll have a people filled with strength and with power for war. A violent people who, like a troop, will drive out the enemy force and establish a beachhead for future victory. That's what God wants for us. That's what God wants us to do. That's how we have to live. We got to be victorious.